Down and I'm going to speak hopefully to the gems and invite you to join in to that conversation. We're going to read the verses before and the verses after of the girls' theme verse, but our focus this morning is going to be on that verse 6. Would you follow along with me from 1 John chapter 2? My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sin, but for the sin of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard from the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves his brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But if anyone hates a brother or sister is in darkness and walks around in darkness, they do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who was from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. All right, girls, I need you to stand up. We're going to begin with a little game. Now, you can stay right over here. Now, I suspect the counselors can stand up too. Now, I suspect you played Simon Says before, right? And you know how it works, right? So I'm going to get you to do a couple of things. And the first thing I'd like you to do is I'd like you to touch your toes. Oh, I didn't say Simon Says. So if you just did that, you can sit down. All right. Half the counselors are gone. All right, Simon Says, touch your toes. All right, do 5 jumping jacks. Okay, Simon Says do 5 jumping jacks. We'll just let him go for a while. I'm not counting. All right, what's that? The counselors wouldn't have lasted. All right, Simon Says raise your hand. Okay, you can sit down now. Simon Says you can sit down. All right, now here's the question. Why did you do what I asked you to do when Simon Says? Yep. Okay, that could be part of it. It helps us to learn something. Now, why, when I said do this, did you not do it? But you only did the action when I asked you in Simon's name to do it. Yeah, Sophie. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Now, how come... And this is a rhetorical, so you don't have to answer this question yet. Jesus tells us to do something, and we find it very, very hard to do. Your verse says, whoever claims to be in him must live as Jesus lived. Now, we know that Jesus was good, Jesus was kind, Jesus was humble, Jesus was gracious, Jesus was forgiving, Jesus thought of other people about himself, and we know that, but we find it hard to do. Now, maybe at GEMS one day you had learned about being kind and generous. And you go to school, and man, you're not very fun to be around. Or maybe we've learned about walking with Jesus in this GEMS year, and we go home, and the first thing we do is we yell at our brother or sister. Or we get angry at other people. Or maybe we hear about Jesus and we go to work, or your parents go to work, and we forget what Jesus really wants us to do. But if I were to ask you today, let's play a game. And we do Simon Says Again. And we do it. I want us to think about that this morning because Jesus has some things for us to say that will change our life and our witness for him in the world around us. Now, I told some of the gems before the service that I was going to ask them what two words meant, because it's going to help us understand the passage a little bit. And it's, I asked them, can you tell me what the word docetism and gnosticism mean? And I even told them, if they didn't know, I was going to ask the counselors. And if they didn't know, our elder of service had 20 minutes now to Google it and come up with an answer. So, did you guys come up with the answer of what docetism and gnosticism are? Because it's going to help you understand the passage. You see, George, did you Google it?
I did not.
All right, George is our elder of service. Now, that means I'm going to have to give you the answer because John is writing to a church in our passage in 1 John. And there is something going on with the church in the church. There was some little splits going on. And there was this group called the Docetists and another group called the Gnostics. Now, this is going to be very important in understanding the passage because they denied that Jesus was the Son of God. They denied that Jesus actually came in the flesh. And both of these groups said that Jesus was not the Christ. Now, if you go to the very end of the passage we read, they also believed that you could follow God, and yet by their very actions were walking in disobedience to God. These Docetists and these Gnostics who, as they try to discover what it meant to follow God and not Jesus as their Savior, there was something in them where they still hated their brothers and sisters. These same guys also had disagreements and quarrels within the community of faith. Now, remember our passage. It says that if we are to walk, we're to walk as Jesus did. Now, John speaks to this very issue. And he wants us to understand something about Jesus so that you and all of us as a congregation can walk as Jesus did. And so your passage opens up this way. It says that we have an advocate. Girls, what's an advocate? Do you know what that word means? No? Should we ask your counselors?
Yes.
What's an advocate? Leah. Leah's getting pointed to. And the text really comes and says an advocate is, more specifically, is somebody who comes and walks alongside of us. Now, how does Jesus, if you're going to want to learn to walk as Jesus walked, how does Jesus come and walk alongside of us? And his Holy Spirit comes along and walks inside of us. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. But God comes and he walks alongside of us each and every day, right? As you talked about in your play, that we'd realize that we're valuable, that we're B-E-U, how did you do that?
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. And that we're valuable and we're treasured. Now, Jesus sets that example very clearly for us in coming into our story and telling us how loved we are. Now, here's a question for you. If you want to walk like Jesus did, is there a way that you can be an advocate or that you can walk alongside of somebody? Yeah, Beth. By showing Jesus' love to other people, yeah. Is there another way that you can do that? How about being a friend with somebody at school that nobody really wants to be a friend with? Yeah, Sophie. Yeah, by acting as Jesus wants us to do. Now, if you want to understand something about Jesus, your passage also says that he is the righteous one. Now, when it says that he's the righteous one, what he's really saying is that he was without sin. He was perfect. And if we want to be like Jesus, you want to know what's really cool? Jesus would hang around people that you and I probably wouldn't have hung around with. He would hang around people that were sick, like the lepers, that if you were to get too close, they thought you could get leprosy. And if you would touch them, you couldn't go into the temple. Jesus would hang around the tax collectors. Nobody liked them because they were crooks. Jesus would hang around the prostitutes. Today, I could see Jesus hanging around those who have addictions. I could see Jesus hanging around people, again, who were sick or lonely. I suspect Jesus would even hang around that man who drove around in North York and took so many people's lives this past week. You want to know why? Because Jesus loves each and every one of us. And Jesus wants us to know of his redeeming love and his grace. He wants us to know about forgiveness and how valuable and how treasured we are. But it also says one more thing before we get back to your theme. That he is an atoning sacrifice. Anyone know what that means? You know, it's easy. It's that Jesus paid for our sins. And Jesus not only paid for our sins today, but he paid for the sins of our past and for the future. And you know why he does that? Because he wants us to be able to enjoy him and to enjoy him forever. In fact, he's already in heaven. John 14 tells us that. And that he's preparing a place for you and for me that one day when we leave this earth, we could not only enjoy him, but we could enjoy him forever. And here's the good news. He said Jesus is going to come back one day. And he's going to take us to be with him forever. But until that time, he gives us the Holy Spirit who reminds us of his goodness and his grace, who walks with us and who works in our story that we could come to know of the amazing love of God. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Now, do you know anybody that really lives for Jesus? When you see them, man, you just get that picture. I want to tell you about a guy that I knew. Some of you know him. He was a pastor. He used to work for the Bible League. But this man had a profound influence on my life, already from the time I was a young kid. Now, when John spoke, his name was John Clumps. And when he spoke, man, that guy had passion. He could tell the stories of the Bible in a great story form that you just sat at the end of your seat and you couldn't wait for more. But what I loved about John is John had this essence about him that when you were with him, you felt like you were the most important person in the world. I remember one day he was collecting money for the Bible League. And if you gave $100, you got one of those orange bricks. Anybody remember that when he did that back in the late 70s, early 80s? That's a long time ago. And he would go around to different churches, and I remember as a kid, I had a piggy bank, and I gave a few bucks. And John felt that that few dollars that this little kid was given was more than this $100, and so John gave me one of those bricks. A little later on, John entered into my story again, and his daughter was an artist. And I remember one day, he simply wanted to bless me. And his daughter had charcoal painted a German shepherd. And she had it framed and matted, and he gave me the gift. And one day at a kids' church conference, we called it the Sunday school conference at that time, John went out of his way, and everybody wanted to speak to John. But I was, 13, 14 back then. He made time specifically for me. And I felt like I was the most important person in the world. And what I love about John is not only that I could tell that he loved Jesus, but he wanted everybody to love Jesus. And I tell you the story because when you look at your passage, when it says that we should walk as Jesus walked, it made me ask the question. As I look to John, I see Jesus, or at least a glimpse of Jesus. When people look at me, when people look at the people in the audience, I think the question for us is, do people see Jesus? Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Now, how do you know if you're walking as Jesus did? Well, our passage tells us that we would keep the commands of Jesus. The second thing it says is, you will know God if you obey his word. Now, girls, what are some things that God calls us to do that maybe you've learned in your gym season this year that reflect how we can live for Jesus? Yeah. Walk in the steps. Now, how can we walk in the steps? Yeah. Forgive people. I think that's one of the hardest things to do, right? Is if you look at Jesus, Jesus was full of forgiveness and full of grace. And that's something that God wants us to do. And you're absolutely right. That becomes a powerful witness. Yep. What's that? Help people. Jesus was always helping people, right? Yep. Accept people. Absolutely. What about we can live as Jesus lived by watching what we say? I don't know for you girls, but I suspect that maybe on the playground when kids aren't being nice, maybe when you're at home and you have a friend over, or maybe a brother or a sister who are just really annoying, to use your words to be encouraging and to build up, right? Jesus always used his words in ways that were powerful, but also edifying to other people as well. We can live as Jesus lived by being kind. We talked about that. By being joyful. We can live as Jesus lived by being a great encourager. We can live as Jesus lived by using your gifts, as you guys have been doing this morning, to help us know more about Jesus. And here's where it gets really important. Because remember those two big words, docetism and Gnosticism? They had a whole idea of knowledge being the most important thing. And the material stuff wasn't as important. They thought that the more knowledge you had, the better it was for your walk with God. But John tells us something very important. I think it's good for all of us. We need to have lots of knowledge about God. But he said, unless you put it into practice, you don't really know what he's really getting at. John tells us about that. He says, if you keep my commands, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Now, how do we do that? How do you keep the commands of God? I think there's one thing that's very important for us, is to realize that we can't do it on our own. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it says, don't stop gathering together as the church. You want to know why? Because the Christian life isn't meant to be done alone. GEMS is a great place for you guys to get to know more about walking with God and what it means. So is coming to church. So is what I'm involved with. I don't get to come to GEMS, but I get to go to Boys Club. Boys Club is pretty awesome. And we're also learning what it means to live like Jesus too in different ways. And small groups, just being a part of the community of faith, will help us to live as Jesus lived. We'll begin to live as Jesus lived by putting other people above ourselves. You know, in the Bible, maybe you recall it? Tell me if you recall it. There's a place in the Bible, and a number of other examples, that said Jesus lived as a servant. You guys recall that? Now, Jesus continually put other people. He made his life one of service. We can do that so that we can live as Jesus lived. Now, here's something that maybe you haven't dealt with, but here's something for us as a congregation. If we want to really live as Jesus lived, I'd like you to, this afternoon, go home and open your schedule and see what your schedule says. It says not only about you and about me, but about our walk with God. Are we so busy that things like this that we don't have time for? That we're so busy that we don't have time to open the word and to pray? That we're so busy that we don't have time to use our gifts to build the kingdom? Because as I begin to look at Jesus and look at Jesus lived, Jesus often would take time away and he would pray. Jesus would also take time to be in community. Now, that's going to look different for all of us. Just like Mrs. Brenda's shoe and boot collection, your closet must be full. But I think the same is true with life. I think not only of that those shoes, but of our own story. To look at the different places in our lives where we get to grow in faith. You know, I was blessed as a kid. Now, I want to tell you about somebody in my life. Now, this guy's not perfect by any means, but I want to tell you about my dad. My dad is one of the most profound people spiritually, next to my grandfather, in my life. Now, my dad, often as a young kid, he think he was being private, but he would go up to his room every night, and I could see through a little crack in the door that he would always be on his knees, and he'd be praying. And he still does that. He still prays for not only for me and my sister, but he also prays for my family and my kids, that we would get to know Jesus. Now, what I love about my dad is he not only took in all that knowledge, but I could tell he loved Jesus. I could tell he loved Jesus because he not only spent time with Jesus, but he loved going to church. He loved using his gifts. Now, he loves telling everybody about Jesus. Now, I tell you that because I've learned to become a lot like my dad. You want to know how I became a lot like my dad, or am becoming a lot like my dad? What do you think? Yep. What's that? Yeah, I pray, yeah. Yeah, but you know what's even more important? I learned to become like my dad in a variety of ways by spending time with my dad. Now, if you would ask Mrs. Carmen, she would tell you it's uncanny how much I'm like my dad. The comments I make, the way I clear my throat, the way I walk, the comments I make. I'm a spitting image of my dad. I'm a 30-year, roughly, younger version of my dad. But my love for Jesus got cultivated by spending time with my dad, because my dad simply loved Jesus. Now, I tell you that story because in the time of the Bible, when somebody wanted to learn more about Jesus and becoming like Jesus, they would sit at the feet of a teacher. They called the teacher a rabbi. Today, we might call it a pastor. But they would sit there and they would spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They would spend as much time as they possibly could with that teacher so they could not only learn, but they could learn how to live it out. Now, here's the exciting thing. Turn around for a second. Not the counselors, the kids. You guys have a very good example sitting right behind you here of a group of women that love Jesus very much and that want you to know about Jesus. But if you were to look even farther, maybe you see a parent, a grandparent, even maybe somebody in the church that's not related to you, that you've got a connection with, that wants to tell you about Jesus. And they understand what your pastor is saying. That if we want to be like Jesus, we need to live as Jesus lived. Now you can turn around again. Here's the exciting thing. God loves you girls so much, and he's got a plan for your life. And he simply says this. You want to know what it means to live as Jesus lived? Love God. How do you love God? Spend time with him. And then love other people, because God has loved you. That's the simple thing. Two real things. Love God and love other people. And you do that, and you'll be walking as Jesus did. Amen. We are going to pray before we sing. As we pray, we want to continue to remember John as he continues at Mount Sinai Hospital. And as we pray not only for him, but for you now and the families you guys consider and discuss what's next in caring for John. Want to continue to remember Brenda's brother, Greg. And my dad asked me to share this to you. Some of you know that my dad has been battling cancer on and off for the last 5 years and gone for treatments. And they found out this past week that, as he has believed all along, but he's cancer-free. So he wants to thank you for your prayers. And yeah. And so he just wants to thank you for his prayer, for the prayers that you have offered for him, and he's just over the moon that it's now totally gone. Would you pray with me? God, you are good. And Lord, we thank you that you are always with us. Lord, we just want to pray for John and for Nell. Lord, as John remains at Mount Sinai and Nell is here, Lord, as the family considers next steps for him, Lord, we just pray that you would not only be with him, but be with Nell as they figure out exactly what that is, and that you would make that plan very clear to them, and that where that needs to be for John, Lord, that it would become not only so absolutely clear, but that you would open the doors, that, Lord, he would be able to be closer to now. Lord, that he'd be able to move from downtown Toronto to somewhere in this community, Lord, that he can continue his journey of not only of faith, but of life in that next season, Lord. Be with him and Nell during that transition, Lord, and we just pray that that would be a smooth transition, that you would reveal yourself in a variety of ways, that they would see your hand at work in that. Lord, we want to continue to be with Brenda's brother, Greg, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with him during this process, Lord, as the chemo is affecting his liver in a variety of ways. And Lord, we just pray that you would allow that to stop. And that, Lord, that his body would be receptive to the chemo, that damage to the liver would not progress any farther than it already has, Lord. And we just pray that you would grant some healing within his story, Lord. We pray that he too, as we are praying this morning, Lord, would realize that you are with him, that you would encourage his faith, Lord. And we would pray for a miracle, that you would just heal his body and that you would strengthen him and refresh him, oh God. And Lord, as we think of you being the great physician, Lord, we want to give you thanks as a family that after this long journey, Lord, that the cancer is now gone from my dad's body. And we want to give you thanks for that healing. We pray that out of that healing, my dad may just continue to tell the story of your goodness and your grace in that journey. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you this morning for the GEMS ministry. We thank you for the blessing that these girls are to us and to their families. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless and grow this GEMS ministry. That these girls, as they take the theme that they've learned on Mondays to their homes and to their community and to their schools, that, Lord, people would see the love of Jesus in them. And that with them as a congregation, we would walk together as you call us to walk. In your name we pray. Amen.